Hello, hello, my friends. Welcome to Rant While Driving to Work with your host, myself, the man, me, Jay Wrecker. Oh, that sound could only mean one thing, guys. Woohoo! It's another day on the road. It's a highway adventure. Although I only take surface streets to work. There's no highways or byways. Whatever a byway is. It's a good day, though. I'm excited. Why am I excited? Because in Revisionist History Season 3, Episode 1 just launched, and we're about to talk about it. That's right. This is the Revisionist History Rewind for Divide and Conquer. If you are new to this, as last season, I will go over the shows that Mr. Malcolm Gladwell has excellently produced for us with his team. Listen to that first, then come here. Definitely, I'll be talking about spoilers, and my take on the episode. Oftentimes, what I try to do is dissect it, find the pain points of the episode, and then really get to the meat and bones of it and see if I can't figure out maybe other solutions to his problems or, you know, to his plot, you know, to the main thesis of his podcast, and think, I wonder if there's something else he could have looked at. I wonder if there's something else that we can think about this episode. And let's just not think of it as a standalone. This is the epitome of the topic. There's nothing else left to discuss. Like, he's figured everything out. That this is just the beginning step. This is the launching point for us. And this is kind of what I want to talk about. This is what I like to dig in. I've said it before. I listened to his topics. And I read his topics. I'm like, oh, this is it. There's nothing else left. He's figured everything out. And then we realized, you know what? No, there's more journalisticness-esque to pull out, right? So, Divide and Conquer. Super excited. And then, afterwards, I was disappointed. Disappointed in it. It was just the hype of waiting so long to listen to another excellently, beautifully executed podcast, and then realizing that the content was below par. Yeah, it was essentially, excuse me, wowzers, was about grammar, and I don't know much about grammar, so maybe it was just over my head because I'm just not a grammarist. I don't know. Heck, I'm pretty sure I spelled grammar with an E for a decade or two, maybe. So that can mean something. They never really explained, like, why the semicolons were very important. They kind of got to a little bit of it with commas and apositive phrases, and that's the descriptive part of the sentence, and how our framers, the Constitution, and different amendments really don't know what they're talking about, and I was really hoping that he was going to go on to kind of the Oxford comma and how that can change sentencing structures. And I believe that someone went to take a court case based off of the Oxford comma. And I thought he was going to bring that up. And I thought that would have made a little stronger case for him of how that can change things. And he mentions, I like reading law reviews. Seriously, dude? Come on, bro. There's like 300, 400, 500 pages of just like jargon and just like gibberish, and like, that's what you like to do? Alright, it's cool, you know. There's, you know, to each their own, I guess one might say. And that kind of spawned this, right? He got a couple of interesting law reviews, and they're like, oh, look at this, and go into a little deep dive on it. Which is cool. That's what he does. It's an interesting take on him. I mean, he's such a smart dude. He definitely finds a story that you don't think there is a story.
And that's kind of what makes him a good journalist, I think. And that's why he does this thing. This is what he does.
But I really thought he was going to go into some of the go in a different direction and really kind of turn full circle a little bit. You know, there's different. Commas and punctuation in English can change the meaning. However, in old documents that are such substantial documents, such as the Constitution and the amendments for the United States, these documents apparently don't count, right? Because we don't take them for what is written. We kind of read in between punctuation and just kind of read it out loud. And if you read it out loud, it makes sense. But supposedly, if you then read it in context with the semicolons and the commas and lack of periods, then it doesn't make sense. It actually changes the meaning of things. And I guess that was the point of that particular part of the story. But geez Louise, man, it didn't seem like, the story didn't seem congruent to me at all. It just seemed kind of like iffy and wishy-washy, but he mentions, I guess to a point where they're like, okay, they were talking about gerrymandering in Texas, and it's like they do it once a decade, but then the Republicans wanted to do it after a couple of years because they didn't have enough people in the House, the state House, I guess. And so they're like, no, we're going to do it again. We just have to vote on it, and we need a majority. And if we don't have quorum, though, we can't do it. And they figured it out. Oh, we need 100 and out of 100 people, 151 people, we need, you know, 101 to be quorum. So, you know, they had 150 people, I guess, and they need 101 for quorum. And so they took 51 people, so there's only 99 people there. They can't do quorum. They left the state. They read the bylaws, and they actually read the rules, which it was kind of cool how politicians can actually read. I didn't know that. That was something new to me. And they're like, okay, cool. So we'll just leave the state. We'll go to Oklahoma, and we'll just kind of sit it out. And there's warrants for their arrest and stuff like that. And that seems like a really strange side. Usually he does these on some of these podcasts. He has a main point. He's got like an A plot and a B plot. And that was the B plot, right? And just kind of like, he kind of threw it out there. Just like, I feel like he was kind of, he needed to fill 30 minutes and he didn't know how to do it. So he kind of like, oh, let's get a B line here. And like, ah, crap. Let's talk about Texas a little bit. Because there's, but that made more sense than his A plot. So maybe that was the A plot. Maybe that was it. Maybe I'm getting the mixed up. That's a problem too, right? When you're trying to give your points and you don't know why you're giving the points. You know, whatever. He's got three sponsors though, so he's doing something right. Yeah, I think he fit in two or three sponsors, the mid-roll. Mid-roll would be in between the middle of the podcast or so, and then you roll the credit. You know, he stops and it's pre-recorded. Ads. You got pre-roll, which is before, and post, which is after. You usually don't want to do on podcasts, you don't want to do anything post, because no one's going to listen to it. You want to do pre or you want to do mid. That's more so. Interesting. Side bit is, I think on the new iOS at least, you're able to, iTunes is starting to track a little better now for podcasts, which they have horrible tracking. No clue what they're doing at all. And you can kind of see when people are fast forwarding and skipping and stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. I didn't upgrade to the new one. So maybe my desktop, I'll do that. I don't know. That was my B plot, Mr. Gladwell. A little tangent that goes nowhere. And I guess maybe that's what your shaggy dog's talking about, huh? He talked about shaggy dog. I'm going to re-listen to that part because that was interesting. I feel like that's my whole podcast, though. Like, just kind of like ranting and raving about not really much of anything with no points and nothing going on. That's kind of what my deal is. I'm like the Shaggy Dog. D.A. Oh! You guys remember that movie? I grew up on that. That was fun. My mom liked the movie, so I watched the movies. Had a little ring on. Said the thing. Said the... What does this ring say in Latin?
And he turns into a dog. That's fantastic. And he's a district attorney at all. Oh, man. Lawyers. See how I tied in lawyers that we're talking about, right? Plus the shaggy dog, which is an analogy of, like, a long-winded story with, like, no point whatsoever, which is, i.e., my podcast. And then, ba-bing, huh? Yes, sir. All right, my folks, my folks. So they go up to Oklahoma. They evade all the law enforcement. Somehow they get back and everything's all hunky-dory. Come to find out that in the second review that Mr. Gladwell read, it was talking about how Texas was thinking way too small, with like 5 A's way. They have a law on the books. Before they became a state, Congress said, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can be up to 5 states. As long as there's significant people in the population, whatever that might entail. Do and draw the lines as you please. They decide just to do one, and then if they said, oh, hey, let's redraw this to be 5 states. Pardon me once again. And so Glava went to the guy, supposedly, who knows about the political landscape in Texas with Republicans and Democrats, etc. And this guy says that, well, this can be pretty tough. You get senators, right? 2 senators in each state. You actually might make it more Democratic senators coming up. It might be a bad thing. It might not be a good thing. Then you might change the whole landscape, right, of Texas being strong Republican to now, like, it could, you know, at first it might be, you know, it could be 6-4, it could be 7-3, but, you know, in a decade it could definitely be, like, 3-7 in favor of the Democrats, which is something that a long-holding Republican state wouldn't want the last time they sent a Democratic senator into Washington was, I think, in the 90s. You know, so quite a while. Been a couple terms since then. I don't think it's, in the presidential elections, I don't think it's ever gone Democrat. I think it's always been Republican, the whole entire, from Texas all the way up to North Dakota. I think it's just a whole straight line. I think it's always been red. So, they're like, oh, that's not good. But here's the thing that Mr. Gladwell failed to address, I think for good reason. I understand why, like, story-wise. But it's up to 5. What happens if they just cut it up to where it's only Republicans? If they just gerrymander the state into other states, then they could do that. And as long as they can hold, as long as there's more Republicans in office, as long as they don't hold, you know, granted the guys can just do the whole thing and they can, you know, not make quorum or something, and that's fine. They can redo that cycle. You know, but that's only if they have enough, and then they cut up the state a little bit, and there we go. And now Texas is now 2 or 3 different states, like North and South Texas or East and West Texas, that kind of thing. Because that was already given to them constitutionally, because I think it says in the Constitution that no other state shall be formed without the consent of Congress. With a bunch of commas in there and semicolons in there, so it makes it look like nothing can happen. And because they're trying to figure out if West Virginia should actually be a state, or if it was okay, and like, nah, I guess it's okay that they can be a state, but it sounds like at one point when you're listening to it, like, oh man, is he going to say that West Virginia isn't a state now? You know, that's kind of, seems kind of strange, but that was kind of his push, that he was kind of foreshadowing a little bit, and spun it. Oh, nope, we're fine, you know, law says this, it's probably all right. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, so I think that would be the solution, right? That's kind of like the thing, is, hey, why don't we just, you know, go through and cut up the state into other states, because we're allowed to. Now, Congress could come through and change it and say no, and take back what they've told them in the past and stop them from making another state. It just depends which one acts faster, state level or government level. And you got to kind of assume that neither would act that fast. And with today's social media, that this would get out fairly quickly. But man, which could you imagine if they just, like, turned up and, like, the next, like, everyone was all quiet about it, and then boom, done, gone. And now they're, you know, three or four states now. Right? That would be kind of cool. All of a sudden, a couple more Texans out there. Texans? I guess it's just Texans.
Which would, that would kind of change a lot of things. A lot, depending how they cut it down, too. I mean, what happens if they cut it where Houston and Dallas are in different cities?
For sports-wise, that could change a lot of factors as well. You know, different states, different divisions, that kind of thing. But let's look at this way. It was a fun little story for him to talk about for the first episode of the season. But it couldn't happen. Some states may not be able to, like, survive on their own. Even though they have a large population. You may need a full state for taxes and government support and that kind of thing. There's a whole thing about rolling out different, like, driver's license and mailing addresses and, changing signage. And, you know, there's a bunch of different things in there that you just, you know, it'd be great to say for them to do this, 50 years ago or 80 years ago or something like that. I think they became a state in the 1870s, I want to say. Could be earlier than that, though. Well, 30s. I don't remember now. I forget. I think it's the 70s. But still, it'd be easier, right? Now, there's so much infrastructure now that would need to change and change over. This would have people bickering for a long, long, long time on the floor, seeing what they can do, and there'd be a lot of, like, hey, you can do this, I can do that, I want this, but you give me this, you give me that, and then before you know it, Congress swoops in and says, no, you can't do it, and they take all this taxpayers' time. You know, what's the benefit of this? It'd be cool just to see it happen, but there's actually no real benefit, right? I mean, there's nothing that would actually be helpful to anything. It's not like, you know, would one state become stronger or one become weaker? I don't think we need that. But it was a middle of the road, mediocre one, Mr. Gladwell. But man, super stoked for this next season. Looking forward to it. That's kind of it. My rant shall be over soon. A little housekeeping now. If you want to be done with the podcast, thank you so much. Tweet me at RealJRecker. We'll catch up. Housekeeping side is this. I'm trying to make some time to re-upload some of Season 2, Revisionist History Rewind, for your listening pleasure. Some of you may have just found Revisionist History and haven't checked out Revisionist History before, so I did do a Season 2 Rewind, and now I will have to re-air those, re-up them, and not a problem there. I just need to, I gotta go to some hard drives and do different things, and it's been, it's been busy in the Wrecker household. We're having baby number two any day now, so we're getting ready for that, and I'm scurrying around trying to help Mama Bear as much as possible and get her comfortable and get things ready and make sure bags are packed, and so it's a crazy one. But we're crunch time right now. We're fourth quarter crunch time. We got the All-Stars on the floor, and so that's kind of why some things are a little bit slower than I would have liked, but that's just reality. Sometimes that jumps in your face. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Revisionist History Rewind Season 3. So excited. Every week. Hopefully this will come out on Fridays nights. Saturday mornings. Kind of just depending on what happens. Sometimes it, it could be Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll see. I try to get as soon as possible to try to get up the uptick and try to jump on board with what he's doing. So, for that, have a great one, guys. And thank you so much. Remember to throw me 5 stars on iTunes and tell me how badly I suck. See you guys.